You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up, we talk with a Wisconsin climate scientist about the state of climate change research and what the current trends mean here in the state.
Right now, it's time to get the latest news in national politics. The hearings over the immigration ban took place last night. We'll learn what could be in store for the executive order moving forward.
Last night, Senator Elizabeth Warren was formally silenced on the Senate floor by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, leading to outrage among many Warren supporters.
Scott Wong joins us now for a look at those and other stories. He's a senior staff writer at The Hill, covering House Republicans and Speaker Paul Ryan, among other things. Scott, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, Scott, this immigration hearing happened last night. Pretty big hearings for your average federal court hearing. You don't usually see millions of people watching something like this. They're not going to make a judgment today, it sounds like. What do we know from what we saw last night, though?
Well, that's right. I mean, I think there was record viewership. I mean, the cable networks were all tuned in to this court hearing. People were following this on Twitter, on social media, streaming it live, typically for a appellate court hearing that is highly unusual. What we heard was arguments from both sides to the Ninth Circuit Court, a panel of three judges. Attorneys for the Justice Department argued that the executive order was a national security decision by the president and that the court should not be interfering with that decision by the president. That he was trying to protect the country in issuing this unilateral action. Attorneys from the other side representing the states of Washington and Minnesota are seeking to completely halt Trump's order. They argued that the original intent of the ban was to block Muslims from entering the country, essentially a religious ban which would be unconstitutional under the First Amendment. And so right now, we are not expecting a ruling today. We are expecting something to come down later this week. But all indications are, because both sides are so dug in on both sides, that this is going to somehow end up at the Supreme Court level. And as you know, the Supreme Court currently is split with, on many tough decisions, 4-4, as we only have 8 Supreme Court justices.
And as you cover Congress and what's going on in D.C., is this an issue where all eyes are on this court and this issue, or is there so much going on it's not really dominating the conversation?
I would say there's a lot going on, but this issue has dominated Capitol Hill for the past week, namely because of the way it was rolled out in such a haphazard way. The leadership offices, including Paul Ryan's office, were not fully informed that this was coming down. This would have been about a week and a half ago. It was unexpected. The key leadership offices were not looped in on the decision, and so it caught a lot of people off guard and by surprise, and that didn't sit well with a lot of Republicans. And so I think going forward, there's going to be a lot more communication between Trump's congressional liaison staff and leadership on Capitol Hill. Remember, these are people that are part of the same party, and for a major decision to be made like this without consulting with Capitol Hill is quite extraordinary.
Yeah, you cover congressional Republicans. Are feathers really ruffled here over this and some of the other issues that we've seen over the last couple of weeks, or do people chalk it up to, okay, they're new, it's early in the administration, we'll get this stuff sorted out?
Well, I think there's a little bit of both. I think Republicans certainly do on Capitol Hill do want to give Trump a little bit of time to get his administration up and running. Remember, a lot of the heads of the federal agencies and members of his cabinet have not been seated yet, including his attorney general. And so there's a little bit of a grace period or a honeymoon period, if you will. On the other hand, each of these members of Congress, they represent their states and their congressional districts, and they're getting a lot of questions and phone calls in their offices. Some are getting protests. And so they are really feeling the heat on this executive order. And, you know, they want to be able to shape it as much as possible.
You mentioned the Attorney General nominee, and I want to give a listen to kind of a weird moment in the Senate. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell formally silenced Senator Elizabeth Warren over testimony about President Trump's pick for the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. Here's some of that interaction.
Mr. President.
The Majority Leader.
The Senator is impugning the motives and conduct of our colleague from Alabama, as warned by the chair. Senator Warren, quote, said Senator Sessions has used the awesome power of his office to chill the free exercise of the vote by black citizens. I call the senator to order under the provisions of Rule 19.
Mr. President.
The senator from Massachusetts.
Mr. President, I am surprised that the words of Coretta Scott King are not suitable for debate in the United States Senate. I ask leave of the Senate to continue my remarks.
Is there objection?
Object.
I appeal the ruling.
Objection is heard. The Senator will take her seat.
Mr. President, I appeal the ruling of the chair, and I suggest the absence of a quorum.
The clerk will call the roll.
And then there was ultimately a vote, a party line vote, agreeing that with the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. This isn't something we see every day, is it, Scott?
No, it's actually quite extraordinary. You had the United States Senate voting essentially to silence one of their own members for, as you heard Mitch McConnell say, impugning the character of one of her colleagues, Senator Jeff Sessions. This is, of course, Trump's nominee for Attorney General. And, you know, what this comes down to is a much bigger fight over between the Democrats and, you know, Donald Trump and his ability to try to seat members of his cabinet. And, you know, my takeaway, this exchange has gone viral, of course, as you've played it. And it's been watched now thousands, if not millions of times on YouTube and other outlets. The optics for Republicans, of course, look bad. Here you have a male senator and leader, Mitch McConnell, trying to silence a female senator, the hero of the left, Elizabeth Warren, who had been quoting Coretta Scott King, the wife of Dr. Martin Luther King. It spawned fundraising emails, Twitter hashtags, the Congressional Black Caucus, including Wisconsin's Congresswoman Gwen Moore, marched over to the Senate floor earlier this morning to protest the treatment of Elizabeth Warren. And my takeaway is this is really thrust Elizabeth Warren back into the spotlight. My prediction is you're going to be hearing from and seeing a lot more of Elizabeth Warren as she positions herself, I think, for a potential 2020 presidential run.
Ultimately, the Attorney General nominee, Jeff Sessions, probably going to get confirmed, isn't he?
I think that's right. I think, you know, it's very hard for senators to vote against somebody that you've served side by side with, you know, in this body. Of course, what we saw the other day was, a party line vote on the education secretary nominee, Betsy DeVos, and that was a party line vote, and they actually had to bring in the vice president to break that tie. So in the worst case scenario, you know, they could probably, you know, at least get 51 votes. I think a lot more Democrats are going to give Sessions the benefit of the doubt, and you may see a much bigger margin in the vote for to confirm the Attorney General.
We're talking to Scott Wong, covers the House for The Hill. He's a senior staff writer there. Scott, you've been covering issues of conflict of interest and congressional oversight over the president related to his various business interests. What is going on? What's the latest on this topic?
Well, there was an interesting meeting that happened yesterday at the White House in the Oval Office between President Trump and the oversight chairman in the House. His name is Jason Chaffetz of Utah. He's a Republican. And they discussed almost everything under the sun, from nature photography to postal reform. The one topic that they did not discuss was congressional oversight of Donald Trump and his administration. And Chaffetz, as he explained to reporters after the meeting, He said the first thing Donald Trump said to him when he entered the Oval Office was, we are not talking about congressional oversight in this meeting. And so that was that. The reason this meeting was significant is because Democrats have been putting extraordinary pressure on Chaffetz to conduct congressional investigations into Donald Trump with the same type of rigor that he conducted investigations into Hillary Clinton and her emails and her handling of classified documents, as well as his investigations into the Obama administration. And so right now, Chaffetz, that hasn't been his posture. His posture has been to give Donald Trump a little bit of time to get his administration up and running. But this was the first sort of one-on-one meeting between Donald Trump and the chairman that perhaps down the road could be the guy who is investigating his administration.
There have been a few stories lately, something about the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C., and who runs the federal role there. The Department of Defense may be renting space in Trump Tower, I understand it. And the thing that's got a lot of attention, Nordstrom, this doesn't usually come up in presidential conversations, is apparently dialing back on the Ivanka Trump clothing line. And the president tweeted from his personal account, then retweeted from the presidential Twitter account angrily about Nordstrom's action. What do you make of all that?
I mean, again, there are so many. You just touched on a couple of the multitude of issues that are out there that Democrats have been crying foul about, saying that Donald Trump is involved in all of these conflicts of interest. In regard to the Nordstrom issue, yeah, Donald Trump tweeted today at Nordstrom saying that, you know, their treatment of Ivanka by pulling her clothing line out of their stores was terrible and unfair. Then you had Sean Spicer, the press secretary from the White House podium, saying that Nordstrom's actions were a direct attack on the president and on Ivanka's good name. And so you just have this convoluting of the, you know, White House official business with some of the family's business interests. Now, Ivanka has stepped away from her role running the Ivanka line of products, just as President Trump has stepped away from the Trump business organization. But they certainly have this bully pulpit in the presidency and specifically from the White House podium, where they are warning corporations, you know, you're either with us or against us. And it's something that not many of us have seen in our time in Washington.
Scott, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
That's Scott Wong, senior staff writer at The Hill, covering House Republicans and Speaker Paul Ryan. He joined us with a look at the latest in political news from Washington, D.C.
Coming up after the news, we look into the science of climate change, what we know, how we know it, and how it might affect Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.